This morning, I'm going to talk about something I have a little bit of experience with. And this is for anybody out there that may be experiencing a little trouble in your life, struggling with a decision you might have to make, or perhaps you're fighting the urge to punch a coworker. If any of those things hit close to home for you, I believe this message is going to be for you this morning. So if you would, out of respect for God's word, please stand, and we're going to read Ephesians 6 from 5 all the way down to 18. Servants, be obedient to him that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect for persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the name of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your grace. We're thankful for your word and the truth of your word. We thank you that we can all be here this morning to hear it. Lord, I pray that you'll use me this morning, use my message to reach somebody out there in the crowd this morning. I hope it helps them in some way. Help it to strengthen them, Lord, and just help us to lean into your strength, because we know that you are for us and you love us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning I thought, I've got a little bit of experience with fighting. As some of you know, I was a professional fighter for a number of years. I just recently retired this spring, which, as you can imagine, is quite a relief knowing that I don't have to get punched in the face every day. So that's really nice. But I've been fighting for a long time. And I don't want you to think that I'm a street fighter or a brawler. I've always done it at a professional level. There was always a referee involved. It was always a sanctioned event. I'm not out here on 4th Street, you know, throwing down with random people. It was an actual job that I had. But that started very early in my life. I remember as a child growing up, and me and my friends, for fun, we would just fight in the front yard. We would be on our way home from school, and as soon as we got off the bus, we'd just kind of look at each other like, all right, when's it going to start? Usually it started when we got off the pavement and were in the grass, which always made Mom angry, because if we forgot to change out of our school clothes and we showed up covered in grass stains, we knew there was big trouble for Mom. And I understand, got kids growing up, they go through clothes like crazy, and I really don't like see grass stains myself anymore. But that's a different story. But I was really good at play fighting with my friends. And part of the reason for that was I had a bigger brother that was 10 years older than I was. So as you can imagine, me being 10 years younger, I was really annoying. I was my brother's shadow. I was always pestering him. And for that, I paid a pretty heavy price. Took several beatings from my brother. It was very common. But, in good fun still, as big brothers do. One thing I didn't realize when all of that was going on as a child, those beatings my brother was giving me, is I think the Lord was working even in those moments, because I was becoming a very tough little kid from my 10-year-old older brother beating me up. I went through high school, very successful wrestler, and on to college. And then, obviously, I mentioned earlier that I was a professional fighter for a while. But those opportunities to travel the world and compete against some of the best, I was able to travel to Japan and fight over there, a world-class level athlete. So that's obviously hostile territory over there. I was able to fight in my own backyard in Bangor, Maine. So just a lot of different experiences with fighting. But the one thing that all of it had in common is that I learned a lesson every time, win or lose. And it's easy to recognize the lessons learned from the big fights that we would have, the high-profile ones on TV. People could easily look at those and say, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. There were different things. Maybe you could have changed the outcome. But what I knew that they weren't taking into account is there were so many more lessons that came from behind the scenes of fighting and just all the little details that we had to be mindful of leading up to the fight. Like, you know, we had to watch what we ate all the time. We had to constantly be monitoring our weight. We had to be doing the right types of training. Just the daily routine to be successful as a professional fighter, you know, a lot of it wasn't exciting, but if you skipped out on any of it, come fight night, chances are you were going to be paying the price. So that leads me to point one on your handout, and there is a handout if you're following along. I hope this is our right there. Oh, sorry. I guess I should have given you the introduction slides and all of that. Point one is this. The enemy is taking the fight seriously. So should we. We need to be strong. And as we read in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our walk with Jesus is not an easy journey, and it's not supposed to be. In fact, it's only in those times that we're in the challenge and when that stress is added to our life. Those are the moments where growth occurs and we find out what we're really made of. And I think looking at it this way, if we're going to go on a long trip, we know the journey with Jesus is long. We know that we're going to pack a few things with us. We want to, you know, plan our trip a little bit to have an idea of where we're going. Preparing for the spiritual conflict that takes place every day, I believe, is easily compared to the way a professional fighter prepares for their fights. Our adversaries are well-trained, they're proficient in their skills, and they have lots of tricks up their sleeve. As we read in verse 11, be able to stand firm against the strategies, all the strategies of the devil. And he has many strategies that we're even unaware of that may be working in our lives or trying to trip us up. One strategy that I learned about in the fight game that is like the devil trying to trip us up is what I called the buddy fighter. We would always, Drew and I, because Drew was often with me on these trips, we would always kind of look at each other right away when one of our opponents was being really overly friendly, trying to kind of lull us into a complacent spot where, oh, maybe this is my friend, and maybe we're going to take it easy on each other. But I knew come Saturday night when it was time to fight, this is the guy that's going to be taking or trying to take half of my paycheck, and I've got bills to pay, the kids need to eat. So I never really fell into that trap of that friend or buddy zone, because at that point I was a professional and I knew exactly what he was trying to do. But it's an easy trap for us to fall into, because complacency or having them set the pace for us, they try to trick you into maybe slowing down a little bit. And that, like I said, it's a natural habit for us to want to slow things down and maybe take the easy way out. Or at least in our minds we think it's the easy way, when in fact our opponent might be trying to set us up so they can take advantage of us. And if we had one of my training partners when I was going out to Seattle, Washington to train, was famous for this. Everybody in the room knew that this was his tactic, that he was going to use this complacency. He's going to slow things down. He's going to, at some point, take advantage of it. Somehow we always did it. We always got in there and we'd be sparring around, throwing some light punches and moving around. And then, wouldn't you know it, as soon as you relaxed a little bit, you're getting smacked in the face really hard. Then everybody gets angry and it escalates and he's got the advantage. So that was just one of the small tactics that I learned from fighting. And I think it's important for all of us to not allow ourselves to fall into that complacent state. We need to always stay active when it comes to our spiritual strength and maintaining that spiritual strength. The kids play flag football, and we were just up there yesterday, up at Emmanuel, and during halftime they have a devotional and a presentation, and Pastor Josh up there did a really great job, and I felt it fell right in line with the message that I'm presenting this morning, in that he talked about our life being a race, and it's a lot like a marathon, and you know, we have all these influences come into our life that will trip us up if we allow them to. And the illustration that I really liked is he had one of the football players out there with all kinds of bags that he had to run the race with, and that's kind of like the baggage in our life. But the detail that he put in there that really struck me was he tied the kids' shoelaces together and said, run your marathon now with your shoes tied. And to me, I looked at it as the devil is always trying to trip us up, and if he could tie our shoelaces together in our race, he's going to do that. So we need to be aware of all those little details that can trip us up just a little bit. And that's going to lead into my second point here of running a race. Obviously, you want to know where the finish line is at. So have an idea of where you want to be and set a goal to get there. Proverbs 4:25 and 26 says, let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead, make a level path for your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Now, I understand some Christians think goal setting is ungodly because we're not trusting in the Lord and we're trying to influence the outcome, and maybe on some level it's unspiritual, but I did some reading on the topic so I could answer that question for you if you feel like you may be thinking in that way. I did some reading on goal setting from Focus on the Family, and it said, many people feel it is unspiritual to set goals because it shows a lack of trust. It's not right to plan. Instead, people should wait for God to lead them. A little bit later in the article, it says, granted, God doesn't want us to go ahead in pride without consulting him for direction, but neither does he want us to sit around without acting, because he's given us gifts and talents and has also said that we are called to go do good works. And that's in Ephesians 2:8-10, Romans 12:4-8, and Matthew 25:4-8. So with this idea of setting goals, which I think is a very good way to get where you want to go, what are your goals as a Christian? I think that's something that we need to think about. Some of us here, if you just walked in and you're listening to this for the first time, you might just be thinking about just getting on the team. Do you want to join the team? Some of us have been here for a little while, and maybe we consider ourselves to be JV, or maybe we want to step it up and get to that varsity level, or maybe even become a professional Christian someday, you know. Or maybe you've been doing this a really long time, and you want to help just mentor the younger people coming up through and give them some of the experiences that you've had and help them along the way. But when setting goals, if you decide to do that, and I really hope that you do, I know that there's a really good way of doing it. And the first thing you need to do is set a big goal. Like, think big. For me, my goal is to be as much like Jesus as I can be. And I say that, I know I've got a lot of work to do, but that's my big goal as a Christian. And then I think of a second goal, which is a small one that I can do today, that takes me a step towards that big goal. And your goals could be different. I'm not telling you have to think this way. It could be anything. Maybe you just want to talk to your neighbor. Maybe you want to invite somebody to church. Maybe we want to put God first in everything we do. And we talked about that a little bit last week, in just acknowledging him in everything that we do. That little goal So the second part of that is figuring out a little goal that can take you one step towards your big goal and one that you can do today. And for me, I always look to help people. That's, for me, it seems like an easy thing for me to do. Seek an opportunity or find that opportunity to help somebody. And hopefully I'm checking that one off this morning here, that somebody's going to hear this and be helped just a little bit. But I want you to write that big goal down. That's really important for goal setting, is to actually put it on paper and put it somewhere that you have to look at it, that you have to see it and be reminded of it. Now, you don't have to do it now if you're embarrassed that your neighbor might see your goal and you think they're going to make fun of you, but hopefully we're in church and they wouldn't do that to you. But write it down. It's important that you're honest with yourself about where you want to go and where you are right now. And let's just get after it and know that we can take those small little steps every day to reach that big goal. Now, for the longest time, I only really thought about worldly goals and being successful in the sports arena. It started as a kid. I started wrestling at a very early age, so of course I wanted to be a state champion. At that time, I really believed I was going to go to the Olympics as a wrestler. Once I got to college, I wanted to be a Division I champion, you know, a national champion in college. And then as a professional fighter, of course, the ultimate goal there is to be UFC champion, which, you know, I wanted that really bad, and I came close, had some opportunities, but I didn't get to most of those goals. And looking back on all of that, it all happened for a reason. God was in it right there with me the whole way through, because today I know there is nowhere else I'd rather be, and had I achieved any of those other big goals that I thought I wanted, it probably would have landed me somewhere else. And God's plan is perfect, and just being able to trust in Him is incredible. And He will give you the results, whether you know you want them then or not. He's going to give you the result that you need. That being said, I was always training hard and working towards those goals. So point number three is set yourself up for success and give yourself the best chance to win. In verse 11 it said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So in the sport of mixed martial arts fighting, there are many levels where you can try to get the advantage. There's different styles of fighting that you have to learn. I was a wrestler my whole life, so I had to learn how to do striking, throw some punches. I had to learn kickboxing, so now you're kicking people with your feet. There's different styles of kickboxing, like Muay Thai, where you're allowed to use elbows. And I know all of this is sounding very violent for church, but it's what we had to learn to be good as a fighter. And to get the advantage, you had to be proficient in all of those, and you had to know what it looked like when somebody was coming at you with those techniques so you could get out of the way. The first step in getting the advantage is you had to find a good team. So if I knew I wanted to learn how to be a striker, I needed to go to find a good team where there's a bunch of strikers I could work with and bring my skills up. A great team consists of a few things. You know, you've got the head coach, you've got team captains, you've got hopefully a number of training partners that you can work out with, and there's always some element of strength and conditioning involved, because in the fight game, you do not want to get tired. Trust me, I've been tired and it does not go well. But the first element of that is make sure the coach that you've entrusted yourself with actually knows what they're doing, because there are a lot of people out there that don't really know what's going on, and they'll be quick to tell you they do, but once you're there, you find out, boy, this maybe isn't so good. So a coach that knows everything you need to bring out the best in your performance. He needs to know the basic techniques. He's got to know basic tactics. He's got to have some form of advanced tactics so you can put those things to practice when it comes fight time. And that's another element of coaching in the professional sport game that most people don't know, is a lot of times the coach should have a pretty good influence on who you're fighting, because if you just go out there against the wrong opponent, you probably can get beat up bad and it doesn't help your career. The way I look at it and the way I'm connecting it here is Jesus is the best coach that we're ever going to have. He knows everything that we know. He knows what we need. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. The Word of God teaches us the techniques we need. The Word of God teaches us all the tactics. And Jesus shows us by His example how to apply every day in our lives everything that He's... He shows us the advanced tactics and how to apply them in any situation that we are ever going to encounter in life. We worship a God that is great and truly the only matchmaker in the universe. He will not put us in a fight that we cannot get through. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, this is the New Living Translation, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. And I hit that E word last week, too. That's one that gets pretty scary for most of us, the endurance word. In fighting, you need endurance. And I hated doing cardio. That for me was the worst. Does anyone here like running? I knew it. I knew there was one. I don't understand. They talk about this runner's euphoria that happens if you run far enough. Well, I've never run far enough to feel good about running. In fact, the only way I'm running is if a pack of wolves comes and chases me, and then maybe I'll do it. But anyway, in fighting, you need cardio, so I would find things that were interesting to me. I'd get on an elliptical or do whatever I needed to do to bring up my cardiovascular strength. But as Christians, we cannot skimp on the cardio. We need to be in shape, because if there's one thing this world is good at, it's wearing us down and making us tired. I know for me, I don't need any help getting tired. My to-do list that I'm looking at for tomorrow morning itself has me pretty worn out. Well, now on to the team captain part of the team. The team captain is someone with an experience and knowledge of the team's goals. He can answer questions and help direct us when I ask. And I think, obviously, we all trust our team captain and Pastor Dave and his ability to teach us and spread God's word. You know, he's flown 30 hours to teach people there that are wanting to learn, and I feel absolutely blessed that we have him as our leader, and I'm very much looking forward to him getting back, and I'm sure all of you are too, so you don't have to keep looking at me up here. But the next really big part, and this probably, I don't know, having the right team is so critical to being successful. And the right team, there's a lot of different elements. You're going to have different experience levels on there. And in fighting, it was always good to work out with the really tough guys because they made you tougher. But it was also good to work out with the people that maybe didn't know so much. And that way, you could kind of work out and show off how good you were and work in some techniques that maybe you couldn't use against the guys that were higher level. And that way, you could start to train in those tactics. Did you know there are over 2 billion Christians in the world? And the illustration I wanted to use was most of us, and Christian just got his first phone, but most of us have these, which put us within moments of being able to reach out to just a huge pool of Christians that we can pull information from. They can help us out with something we may be struggling in. It's just a matter of us taking that initiative and asking our teammates for help. But we don't have to look out into the world. I'm just looking around this room, and I know that we have a great team right here. Just from the experiences of VBS or the clubs or even the fun fair we just recently had, I'm always impressed at how this church comes together as a team and works towards that goal of doing God's work. And all of those things were very successful, which brings us to point number 4, success is a habit. I know this is a lot of writing for you, so I apologize for that, but a habit is an acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. A habit can be good or bad, and there's a real simple test for, is this a good habit or a bad habit? We're going to go back to your big goal. Is this habit helping you or hurting you on your journey to get towards that goal as a Christian? How do we change our habits? Well, as we read in the definition, and that's the Webster's dictionary definition, An old habit can only be replaced by a new one. Right there it says, an acquired mode. That means you learned it somewhere. So if you learned a bad habit, you can learn a new, better habit to be in its place. The one thing that Jade and I are working on, Christian went off to middle school, and now he has to get up a whole lot earlier in the morning. And if you know either of us, we certainly enjoy our sleep, and you notice we're sometimes late to this or that occasionally. So we've started to stop hitting the snooze button because that was a bad habit. What's the point of even setting an alarm if you hit the snooze button 15 times? So our new goal is the first time that that alarm goes off, there's no snooze button. It's time to get up. I don't care how tired we are. Pull yourself out of bed. I'll go make myself a whole pot of coffee and chug that thing down and get on with the day. And to me, that's been successful. So take joy in your successes, no matter how big or small they are. Another illustration I have here is that you just think about our Heavenly Father looking down on us, because I'm a parent, so it's easy for me to make the connection of looking at my kids and seeing them do something good, and I'm very proud of them and happy. But think back to a time, if you have kids, they have those, they put the block in the right shape, square in the square, circle in the circle. We all know what those things are. I can remember when our kids did that for the first time, just thinking, oh, they're going to be rocket scientists, brain surgeon. They're so smart. Another thing that I'm not completely all the way through the church manual, so I'm not sure if we're allowed to talk about diapers up here. But anyway, that was a huge day in our house when we no longer had to buy diapers. I know for parents, you understand what I'm talking about on that one. But it's those little things. And I think the fact that we take so much joy in those little moments, we're made in our Heavenly Father's image. I believe that He takes joy in our little victories along our spiritual journey. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. Success breeds success. So when you start checking off these little things, it's okay to feel good about it. Momentum is real. All of these things are true. Because just think about those days that we have. And we all have them. When things just start piling up, it seems like everything is going wrong. I hope I'm not the only one that has this, but I think that can be a real stumbling block for Christians, is we're so quick to focus on the negative side of things. And as part of our culture and just the nature of the world, we all know that somebody can do 1,000 things right and do one thing wrong, and where's the focus put? We all see the news. We don't all read the newspaper anymore, but good news typically doesn't make the front page. And we live in a culture where there is a disease of tearing each other down. We're constantly bombarded with bad news, but I'm telling you, that's not God's way. He is not the author of confusion. He is for us, and He wants us to get through the challenges in our lives. So don't let yourself fall into that negativity trap. If you've made a mistake, if you've sinned, repent. If you are holding a grudge, forgive. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. Let's, as a team, get in the habit of recognizing the good. And let's focus on God's grace and how He overwhelmingly, abundantly blesses us. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." If that doesn't tell you we should be focusing on the good, I'm not sure what you're listening to. Let's get focused on the good. Which brings me to point number 5. Don't forget to smile. Find the joy in what is happening. Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. And James 1:2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. During fight week, I would often find myself with a smirk on my face. For one, I loved what I did. I enjoyed it. I know it might sound crazy to most people, but fighting for me came very naturally, and I had a great time doing it. More often than not, my team was with me. Some of my team is sitting right here. My brother-in-law, Drew, my father-in-law, Wade. If you know either of them, you know it's pretty hard to take things too serious when they're around. We always keep it pretty light. But I knew God had me right where he wanted me. Win or lose, he was right there with me. And no matter what the outcome was, you know, even when you win a fight, a lot of times your body is in incredible pain. But my spirit was never broken. Even in those losses where, you know, Drew would be with me at the emergency room, and maybe it was because they had given me something to take care of the pain, but my spirit was never broken. We always had a smile. We'd gotten through it. We had fun doing it. And in those times, I think, those tough times, how much a smile can mean. And there's a lot of things you can do, like going back to those little goals and checking one thing off today. You don't know the power of a smile. You might run into somebody today that just needs a smile, and you can give it to them. Psalm 37:13 says this: "But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming." I just am so grateful that we have that God that has that confidence, and no matter what he's faced, or no matter what the evil one is trying to bring his way, he's just got a smile on his face because he knows he's going to win. In closing, I know this is a brief introduction to some of the elements of fighting, and I hopefully I went a little bit longer than last week. I know I burnt through it pretty fast. But we've all been fighting. We've all been fighting a spiritual battle. I know some of us have been fighting longer than others. Some days are harder than others. And some of us are fighting right now. Some of us are getting tired of the struggle, and you might be thinking of giving up. Even what you're going through just might hurt. You might be hurting really bad, and you just don't know what to do next. I'm going to leave you with this, because I love red words. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Don't forget to smile. Let's make it a habit. All things become easy with practice. Let's pray.